Chell Anderson is a North Shore naturalist. She lives here in Cook County and joins us periodically to talk about phenology, or what's going on in the woods right now. Welcome, Chell.
Hello.
Well, we don't often think of ourselves as drought-prone, but I guess we are.
We are. We definitely are this year. And in a pretty extreme way, really. All the northeastern Minnesota counties are officially in a moderate to severe drought condition. We, in the period from late July through late November, we are 8 inches below normal for precipitation. We certainly didn't have an overabundance of rain even before then during
the growing season. Rivers are low.
Yes, very low. And the streams in particular can be significantly impacted by this kind of low water in the fall. So it's not uncommon for our permanent rivers and streams to go down during the course of the summer. They don't always, but typically in the fall, we get significant recharge because fall is generally a wet time of the year. And for instance, at our place this year, we saw the Flute Reed River, go down to a very low level by late summer. But whereas in many falls in the past 10 years, we would have had anywhere from 4 to 10 inches of rain in October alone, we were only at about 2. So the river really has come up very little from its summer level. It's come up a bit, but not nearly as much as normal. And so what that means in the streams in particular is that all of the living things in the stream that need to really be in the water, they can't just be in a moist place, they have to be in the water, become more and more confined to, you know, a smaller and smaller area. And in addition to just low water levels from the lack of precipitation, once things start to freeze up, well, that further reduces the area that is available to them. Fish are a great example. Fish that are going to survive the winter need to have deep holes where they can hang out so that if you get thick ice building up, that there's enough oxygen and enough food in enough holes for fish to survive. And as those things diminish, of course, that diminishes the survival. And fish are just one example. There would be many other creatures that are limited to actively flowing water.
Well, we've talked about frogs and amphibians, and mm-hmm. certainly also a lot of water insects.
Yes, right. Oh, enormous numbers of invertebrates. And they are probably able to do with less than a trout, for instance. But they're also food for other bigger animals. So all these natural systems have ranges that they operate within. And the drought of this year is not something that's never occurred before. And so it's not in and of itself likely to forever alter the populations of these creatures in streams. But as streams and rivers experience more and more of these, or as they're stressed by other impacts beyond the natural cycles of drought and excessive moisture even, they can be definitely impacted in terms of given species or the relationships between species that live there.
Well, that's the fauna. What about the flora?
The flora, yeah. There's less known, I would say, in terms of the aquatic flora. Aquatic plants have been typically understood, poorly understood, as a group, partly because we are terrestrial mammals. And so for us to really get in and look and see what's there, aquatic systems have some barriers that terrestrial systems don't. So fisheries managers and biologists definitely try to pay attention to what aquatics are a part of the habitats that the species they're interested in are. But it's really a very under-examined kind of part of our flora, and something that in the program that I work for instance, we're trying to do more and more to pay attention to that and understand more the relationships between aquatic systems and the plants that grow there and cycles and population dynamics of those plants. I can say from observing just anecdotally around our place on the river that there are species that are seem to be very consistent over the 15 years that I've been able to watch them there in terms of their abundance. And they seem to not change whether things are, the water's very low or very high overall, they stay the same. But other species tend to really shift around in terms of their abundance. One year you may have lots of floating leaved aquatics of a particular one or two species. And then maybe 2 years later, there are very few of those. And some other aquatic plant has really become the dominant, or some other couple, three have become dominant. And so things seem to shift around. But what are the causes of that? And that's, I think that's not very well understood.
Well, as a terrestrial mammal, will I notice anything on the land due to the drought here? I mean, I know there is in farm country, but I mean, mm-hmm. what about up here?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think probably the thing that we notice the most are the things like water levels, because we're very aware. Lake levels, for instance, are extremely low, especially up along the border. The stream levels are low. If you're reliant on your own well, you may see the water level in your well. You may not notice it if you have an electric pump, but these are the kind of years where the level at which the water is in your well casing may drop considerably, because we're not getting the recharge at all. We had a dry summer and dry fall, so recharge isn't happening. So I know in the past, some folks who have their own wells have had the water become very unavailable if they're trying to use a hand pump, because the water has dropped so low in the casing that it takes enormous effort, hand effort, to bring that water up 100 or more feet to get it out.
So. But the plants and the trees all seem okay.
So far, annual droughts and so on, our systems, our ecosystems here have evolved with those kinds of annual changes. So there may be impacts, but they're not the sort of impacts that are a tipping point that send a particular species or a group of species or a community into something completely, completely different. You know, that's the beauty of natural systems, is that they typically have this built-in range in which they have evolved to be sustained and sustain themselves. So we rely on that, and it's important that we recognize that we need to live within those systems ourselves.
Jill Anderson, botanist and plant ecologist, thanks for helping us understand drought.
Sure.